10% of WYXR's annual funding, $85,000, used to come from federal support. That funding is now gone. If you enjoy this archive, please make a donation, start a monthly gift, or add a few dollars to your current one. As public media faces an uncertain future, support from our Memphis community matters more than ever. Give now at WYXR.org.
Kirby is back with new music. Elle Perry says her album, Miss Black America, will be released on Friday. Topics across the 12 tracks include reparations, romantic love, community, and being underpaid and overworked.
An alumna of Berklee College of Music, Kirby's writing credits include songs by Rihanna, Kanye West, Paul McCartney, Beyoncé, and Ariana Grande. Her new music is evocative of her hometown and home state. Born in Memphis, raised in South Haven, Kirby grew up singing in church in Eudora, Mississippi, in DeSoto County. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Elle Perry.
Memphis Police Department officers are just about ready to leave the 1970s era Mount Moriah station and move into the new, larger state-of-the-art station next to it. A few more items remain on the construction punch list, but enough of the work is complete that city leaders and MPD brass cut the ribbon last Wednesday on the $9.2 million six-year undertaking in the 2600 block of Mount Moriah Road. The new police station has a gym and a work area for the Precinct General Investigative Bureau, along with space for police task forces to work out of, which are three big additions the old precinct did not have. Once the transition to the new building is complete, Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis said the old precinct will remain a police building with a new purpose. For Bilderies, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
Happy to everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice. Y'all, it is a What Wonderful Wednesday. And why is it so wonderful? Because the good Lord gave us breath in our body. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Anybody out there glad that he did? Listen, I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Each and every Wednesday, you catch me right here in Crosstown Concourse at WYXR 91.7, the best station this side of heaven in Concourse. Crosstown, y'all. We are really doing some amazing things that's in this community. And then one thing, if anybody know anything about me, I'm all about how do we really, really work together in our city. There are so many things that's going on in our world and especially in our city, but it makes it better when you unite with people that have the mission of our community and to see our community just not survive but thrive. And I'm always excited to be in the company of my sister that is leading Unite Memphis, y'all. When I tell you, if you know her, you know that is her truly heart. And I'm encouraging people to join us on 901 as we unite Memphis together. Listen, you know, we know our struggles, but I do know there's so many opportunities that's in Memphis that we can do if we all just work together. And so I'm excited to have a young lady that is literally been on the ground working together. I've seen firsthand the works of her labor, and I'm excited to celebrate, and tell people about we need to work together, right? Unite Memphis. So y'all welcome with me to Let's Have a Talk with Talisa on WYXR, my girl. The one and only pastor. She probably don't want me to say all that, but she is a good woman of God. Pastor Karen. Hey, honey.
Hello. Thank you so much. This is so fun to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. It's always good to talk with you, right? Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited about 901 Day happening in the big M town, baby. And you see so many different activations that's happening in Memphis, right? Yeah, I know I love popcorn. I eat too much. There's so many different activations that's happening in our city. And one of the activations for me is so vital, and it has a pivotal point of the location, right? Yeah. Is the Unite Memphis race, right? Many people that may remember it as Race for Reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, y'all, but it's just a different name moving us to where we are. And then we're doing it at the National Civil Rights Museum. So that's happening on, if you have not registered, I need y'all to get about your business. So now me and my girl, we're going to have a little talk and you're going to see why you're supposed to be already registered. All right. So Karen, do me a favor. Tell our listeners and of course our viewing audience on social media, who is Karen Conley? Before we go through all that.
Hey, well, I can't say that I was born and raised here, but I am a Navy brat that has lived in Memphis for the last 35 years. Yeah. And so I, it is home and home and home for me. My dad did a little, mom did a little moving around when I was younger, but landed me here in the 901 and has been home ever since, high school, college, and beyond. I raised our family here, and my husband and I just have a heart for this city, and we just know that any large city, any problem that exists in any of those, it takes the entire city to rally around, and so that's really kind of where we've kind of walked into the space, but we walk in the faith space. We have led in the ministry here for 30 plus years, and then also in the education nonprofit space. And again, it's just like, if you're going to solve big problems, and division is a big problem, you're not going to do it with just government or just business or just education or just the faith space. It takes all of us moving together in the same direction, and then you can solve big problems. And that's what we're here to do.
And you know, when you said solving big problems, you know, I've been chatting with several people this week about some of the problems that we see in our community, whether it's poverty, mm-hmm. whether it's transportation, whether it's crime. But we got to always address the pink elephant in our city is race, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I tell people on Sundays, it has been in the past, and I'm seeing a little bit better now. I'm really mm-hmm. excited about the movement, right? But in the past, it was a day where Black people went to Black churches, mm-hmm. white people went to white churches, and that was one time that we did our own thing and we didn't cross the lines now, yeah. right? Now we're seeing all races, all human beings worshiping God together. So I see there's a little movement, but there's still much more. So now we got to get outside the walls. And I share with you, and I've been bragging on people about how my heart feels overjoyed. And I looked at some of my pictures when I was at your service, a month or so ago, and I left about 12:30 a.m., right? And y'all know my sleep falls about 10, but it was like, it was so good, I couldn't leave. But what was most impressive was I saw all walks of Memphis. Mm-hmm. I didn't just see white Memphis, Black Memphis, Jewish Memphis. I saw all walks of Memphis. And for me to see all walks of Memphis, and I think what was the most cutest thing, there was a young boy that was not my race. And he said, "Hey, you want to get baptized with me, baby?" And he just don't know. He touched my heart because he didn't see me as nothing but another sister that he was excited about baptism. And he wanted everybody to know Christ. And so I know we're going to talk about Unite Memphis, but I dare not talk about Unite Memphis without talking about what One City is doing in Memphis. Because you guys are a beacon of light for what we want to see in our city.
Well, Talisa, if I could go all the way back, I guess it was somewhere around 2012, maybe 2010. My husband, he generally on a Saturday is going to go up to wherever he's teaching that morning, whichever campus we were at the time, and just prayer walk and just prepare his heart for the next day. And we had always had a heart that our ministry in Memphis would reflect the beauty of the entire city. Mm-hmm. And that had always been something that had been a part of our heart. Chris and I were probably the least likely people to be in the ministry. When I married him, when we met, I thought I was going to be a CEO and he was going to be a professional golfer. And, you know, if you know anything about his story, he just grew up with a lot of pain and not in a Christian home. And it was just, you never would have thought mm-hmm. ministry. But fast forward to where he was as he was praying that night, and he called me. We had teenagers at home at the time, and I'm usually doing the mom thing, and he's getting ready for Sunday. And he was like, "You got to come up here." And he said, I've been praying for God to move in this city for years now. But as I was praying, the Lord, just as clearly as I've just heard in my spirit, said, stop praying about revival in this city until you're going to do something about the biggest problem that exists in that's in the city, and that's the sin of racism. Mm-hmm. And he felt like the Lord said, I'm not bringing revival to the white church, and I'm not bringing revival to the black church. I'm bringing revival to my church. Mm-hmm. And when you unite my people, then you will see revival. And so there was something that was a spiritual marker in our life. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was a defining moment of like, no, we've been given an assignment and we are supposed to help be a part of the solution. It takes all of us. We're not under any misconception that we can do it. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, I am a 52-year-old white woman walking in a space that is full of landmines, mm-hmm. that is full of pain, that is full of history, that is full of people who've walked in this space ahead of me, who know a whole lot more than me. But if I wait till I understand everything, I'll never do anything.
Exactly.
And so, but that really is kind of where that the origins of that were, wait a minute, if we're going to solve these problems and we're going to ask for God to do something, we've got to see what's in the elephant, mm-hmm. and we've got to say, how do we deal with that? Yeah. And so that really kind of moved us to a place of really, Chris, actively engaging with the pastors in our community, because really at the time, if you were honest, this was about the 47th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination. Mm-hmm. And Chris went to some of the pastors of some of the larger majority black churches and just said, you know, 3 years from now, everybody's going to look at Memphis for one day. And if we don't do something over the next 3 years, what's going to happen is we're going to come together, we're going to take a picture, and then we're going to go back after the photo op to being even leaders that are not united. Yeah. And so if the leaders of the faith community aren't united, how do we expect the people that follow them to be united? And so that really kind of began that within the faith element. And then the next iteration of that is, it's not, racism isn't just a Christian problem, mm-hmm. it's a human problem.
Absolutely.
And we need all of the community to be involved in helping close those gaps and bring healing to our city.
You know, you said something that for me is really deep, and I see it so much, and I'm very vocal. You know, anybody know me, I'm very vocal. Is that we'll take a photo op, and that's all it is. It's a photo op. Mm-hmm. And I am at this point, I cannot continue to see us just taking pictures, but we know the heart of the people that's in those pictures, they really are not ready for the change that we need to see. So what you all have done and have exemplified, you know, I really, before I even got to know you, my twin, and everybody know, my twin, Pastor Ricky D. Floyd, I forever love him. He would always tell me, your heart. Mm-hmm. He was like, sis, we got to make sure that you plugged in and this gets you in. And we would always talk about it, but you know, life. But just now to know you after his death has, for me, is like, okay, you had the torch, bruh. Mm-hmm. Now I got to take the torch and run with it, mm-hmm. with my race and say, hey, this couple is not about the photo ops. Mm-hmm. It's in their heart to see real change. And a lot of the things that we're seeing in our community, I think if we get back to loving people and being of the human race, not the black, not the white, not the Hispanic, not the whatever your nationality is, but we are all in the human race, how do we move together? And if we do that, we can solve the poverty lines, because now won't nobody think they're greater than the other. Right. Now we can actually say, how do we work together? So if you're not making but $20,000 a year and I'm making $200,000 a year, how do I help you, mm-hmm. see the value in yourself that you can have more? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be so divided. The same thing with the crime. Crime, and now I tell people, crime ain't just happening in certain communities. That happened in Memphis, right? Mm-hmm. But we got to start taking these photo ops as if we're in a better place, but we still got work to do. You know, our great mayor, and I love, anybody know, I love me some Mayor Paul A. Young. And we was at an event last night, and he was telling the stats. He said, no way I'm saying crime is gone. Like, and I'm like, y'all need to hear what he's just saying. Yeah, the numbers show this, but he's not being blind that crime isn't over and many people are afraid. But give him the same grace to fix it. Like, we want to give grace when you think about racism. There has to be a grace that just because I look at you and you're white, I can't say, oh, she white, I don't want to fool with her. No. Give the same grace and say, let me hear your heart.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that I feel like from my perspective, and I've shared this, is, you know, if we don't bring new people into the conversation, mm-hmm. then we're having the same conversation with the same people over and over again, and we're going to get the same results. Mm-hmm. And part of that from a white perspective is to bring more people that look like me into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think for me on a personal level, what I've realized in just my own journey in life is nobody cares about a problem until it becomes personal. And so, you know, if you are somebody who's never had a family member with cancer, if you are somebody who's never had a family member with addiction, it's just others. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else's problem. It's something else that somebody else has to deal with and you don't connect to. But when it hits close to home for you, all of a sudden you look and you see it everywhere.
Yes.
And you realize, wow, this is a problem here and here, and that person has a family member with an addiction, and that person's struggling, and oh, that person has got a family member with cancer, and wow, we have something in common, and this is a hard journey. I think in that same way, when I think about how do we actually change, it's when we humanize the problems. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, okay, you know, we can hear the stats all day long about crime. And if you're not in a part of town that experiences it on a regular basis, mm-hmm. you can just demonize people. You can make it feel like that's their problem, not my problem, mm-hmm. or it's just these bad people. And when you realize, wait a minute, that's somebody's son or daughter.
Right.
You know what? If I remember going through Leadership Memphis a few years ago, and they talked about the physiological impact of poverty. And I just started thinking, I get stressed out and overwhelmed by very small things. You know, I have never actually been in a place that I have worried about food and clothing for my children. Mm. And how would my body, literally just even my physiological body, react if I worried, are my kids gonna make it to school today? Do they have what they need? Mm-hmm. I can't provide what they need. Like, that is a whole nother level as a mother that I haven't had to face. But if we can, again, put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, mm-hmm. and, you know, I had some friends that went and they did some tutoring with some students through a literacy program. And I was like, every single person that has never struggled needs to go do that, mm-hmm. because you just realize that you are helping a child that's just like yours.
Absolutely.
Except they don't have all of the things that you have assumed, mm-hmm. that are just a part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. And so again, we've just got to humanize the problems.
Yes.
And then say, okay, how do we help? Mm-hmm. And I they're complicated. There's no doubt. And there is a solution to every problem if people care.
Absolutely. And when I think about this discussion, this is how we unite Memphis. We have these real critical conversations, because for a person that's always had, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at, some people say, well, why didn't they do that? Well, first of all, they don't know how. They've never been taught, and they didn't ever have the resources growing up or the support system. You have a child that has lived with a two-parent household, then that little boy was taught how to be a man. He was taught those issues, and then he was able to feel love from his mom, right? But now you have a one-parent household that is only just the mama, right? The mom can only teach that son so much. There's so many things that mom is still struggling and teaching, because she don't have a male's body. Yeah. She don't have a male's mind. And so I think when we started having these conversations in Memphis, we got to stop talking, well, poverty is in North Memphis or South Memphis, but it's not in Cordova or Germantown or Bartlett. No, the people have the same issues. They may have a little bit more, but they have the same issues. So let's spend a day in North Memphis and see how it feels that when you hear gunshots versus seeing in your neighborhood, you don't hear those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the trauma that we have in our community. And I think until we start having those conversations, to alleviate the trauma and the ACEs that many of us have, we can't move forward, right? And then you got to go through, you know, I was talking to one of my Muslim brothers and I was telling him how I grew up when it came down to addressing Muslims, right? That's all I knew. So I did what I knew, what I was practiced and what I was taught. I tell people, nobody wake up to be a racist. They're taught to be a racist. And sometimes, let's be real, sisters and brothers, let me make sure y'all look at it. Sometimes we are racist amongst each other. You know, sometimes we can't get mad at nobody else. It's us. We have the same challenges, right? And so we got to be real and start having those conversations, say, how do I find the bad portion in my life? What am I doing wrong that I'm not able to help let my light to unite Memphis? And I think that's when I think about what you're doing and what you have done, even starting from race reconciliation, you knew that there were some things that we need to deal with and we had to start with the race.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that we say at Unite Memphis, our kind of big starting event, we're a young nonprofit. This particular initiative, this is coming into our fourth year. So we're still growing. We're still, there are so many dreams that we have of, and even really our rebranding to Unite Memphis is because we're going to hopefully expand between a walk and a run. So we won't just be doing a race, which obviously that's an intentional play on words, but wanted a broader umbrella under which we could have some events that bring people kind of the top of the funnel. Say, hey, listen, you may have never walked in this space before. Great. This is going to be a fun, family-friendly, incredible day. It's going to be so much fun out there on 901 Day. We're so excited. But it also gives you an opportunity just to get outside of your normal circle. And to be and look around and realize, you know what, honestly, this city is made of incredible people. It is incredible people. And sometimes we get so siloed that we don't even realize that, you know what I'm doing is similar to what you're doing and we can partner together and we're stronger together. And just also to know that what you're doing matters, that you're not the only one, that you're not, I always say, you know, sometimes you feel like you're a drip in the ocean and you can be like, is this even worth it? Like I'm just wearing myself out trying to do good. And there's so many philanthropic people, so many people that have a heart in the city to come out and look around and go, you know what, we hear the negativity because that's what our ears are trained to pick up on. But if we could actually give our, you talked about giving grace, we have to allow the city to improve and believe it into existence, not naively, but if we just always are negative, 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 I mean, the same thing happens on a personal level. If you're just always negative, you will never become the best version of yourself. So,
and you know, and even as adults, we have to be very mindful that if we get on social media and we're always saying something negative about our community and our city, what are the children seeing, right? And are they mimicking what they've seen? Are they practicing what they've been taught? And so I'm telling people, we got to be intentionally. So I'm telling y'all on 901 Day, as we go through all these activities, it would be a great opportunity to bring your child, right? Let your child meet another young person that don't look like them. My baby sent me a picture and it was the sweetest thing, right? So my baby finally goes to a new daycare. And her first friend was a little bitty pretty white girl. And when she sent me the picture, I said, my God, my baby gets it. We don't, we are loving people for real. And I think we need to see more of that, right? And so now they'll learn from each other because they're different worlds, but let's learn from it. And then we can start seeing some of the healing that can happen in our city. And I keep telling people that we got to stop, again, you some of the silos. We have, even from nonprofit world, right? There's a lot of great nonprofits. Think about your, you know, you have Unite Memphis, that nonprofit. There's other nonprofits that's doing walks, but what does it take away from them to support yours? And so y'all, I'm challenging, if there's nonprofit leaders out there and you're saying, you know what, I really need to do more to working outside our silos, this would be a great opportunity for you to reach out to Karen and say, hey, what can our nonprofit do? What can we do to be a part? Because everybody got to work together if we ever going to see Memphis move.
100%. One of the decisions that we made as an organization when we created this was we said, you know, if you aim at everything, you'll accomplish nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we are an education nonprofit intentionally and said, okay, let's our resources, our efforts, our energy. Yes, we want to be a catalytic event. Honestly, one of Memphis's biggest problems is that we are so down on ourselves. And that we just take that negative narrative and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So yes, the catalytic event, but number two, we can't just come together and have a great feel good moment and not actually solve something. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, okay, if education is the space, what does that look like? Well, of course, you've got to have your children reading on grade level. We all know the third grade is such a critical point. Mm-hmm. In terms of leadership development, what are the opportunities that maybe my children had growing up in the schools that they went to that students in the inner city schools don't have? Mm-hmm. Okay, so vocational training, leadership development, those things. But we're like, okay, for us to come in, number one, that's not our expertise. Mm-hmm. And number two, it takes developing relationships in the trenches. You have to have trusted relationships. You can't just walk into a space and think that you're going to just be well received. Mm-hmm. And so we just said, you know what? There are a lot of great nonprofits doing those things. What if as a unifying movement, we identified some of those nonprofits and we actually elevated them? We make sure that people know about them, because what does every nonprofit need? Dollars and people.
Yes, Lord.
And so, so that has been part of our solution has been, we've said, okay, and we're small. We're grateful over the last 4 years, we've given $30,000 away, which honestly, if you knew our budget, that is a intense intentional decision to put our money where our mouth is. Mm-hmm. Because we definitely haven't had $30,000 worth of profit. I promise you that. And so we have done that, but we said, okay, Peer Power, they're a phenomenal organization.
Yes,
their metrics, their KPIs, they are literally making a difference so that high school students see there is a path forward.
Absolutely.
They graduate, they get to college, they have a role model that maybe is a first generation graduate themselves.
Yes, yes.
It is a beautiful model that is being, you know, I know they've been up to DC to share kind of the vision. So that's one of our city partners, Leadership Empowerment Center, that is in the Fraser area. Myron Thomas and Tori Thomas, that's another organization. Woo! Again, taking the leaders in those environments and giving them the tools that they might have in other environments.
Yes.
And then the Civil Rights Museum, one of our taglines is educate and elevate. And we said, you know what, when it comes to the civil rights story, not just in Memphis, but around the entire country, mm-hmm. they are one of the best at educating and elevating in that space. And so for us, that is where we've said, we don't want redundancy. We don't need to be another nonprofit doing those same things. We need to acknowledge the ones that are doing great work.
Yes.
And hopefully down the road, we will bring in enough dollars and that we can support more education nonprofits. We always say, you know, childhood cancer is a big deal.
Oh, goodness.
And this city rallies around St. Jude, mm-hmm. and this country around St. Jude, and brings in millions of dollars every December to destroy childhood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This has the potential, if every Memphian realizes there is something at stake for them, that we could have that same type of power. And what if we raised millions of dollars to go into these education nonprofits, mm-hmm. that truly would give us the opportunity to close those gaps completely?
And, you know, I think about the organizations that you spoke of that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I know all those leaders. I know Courtney Richardson since he was in high school early on, right? His grandmother was amazing, rest her soul. But I've seen him take Peer Power from being a student, mm-hmm. now leading it. So he knows it on both sides.
Yeah.
But he also are tackling those children inside those schools that parents don't have money for tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
Parents don't have what they have, but they have a system that's working to make sure those children are educated. Pastor Meyer, welcome to innovation. I tell you about some scholars, right? But he is, you know, not only is an amazing pastor, but as a leader of his leadership empowerment, I've seen him take black children in the Bay Area, in the Fraser area, and gave them a reason for getting up, being a better individual.
Yeah.
I've seen him take young people that never would have had an opportunity to get outside those four walls, those streets in Fraser, and show them a better life. I've seen him and Tori be a light. Yeah. And so for you choosing those, a lot of times people say, well, why did they choose that nonprofit? What I'm telling y'all firsthand, those two nonprofits work. And they're all about the business. Then when I think about, you know, doing it at the Civil Rights Museum, Russell, oh my God, he's amazing. I absolutely love him and his amazing wife. Because Tamika, they're about community.
Yeah.
They about community. And that is their start.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a life of it. And just to know that when people be a part of the walk on Monday and not on one day, they're not only coming to support and just saying, I want to be a part of the solution to the problem, but they're also on the grounds where Dr. King took his last breath. Free at last, yes. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we free at last.
You know, Talisa, if you had asked me, you know, in 2019, when this vision kind of began to crystallize, if I would ever be able to host this event on the very property where Dr. King was assassinated, there's not a world in which I thought that that would ever happen. And the fact, and really the silver lining was in January of 24 when we had 9 inches of snow and 9 degrees on MLK Day. If anybody had an MLK Day event, you know that. It was over before it started. And a few days in advance, the MPD called and said, you may not host your event.
Right, right.
And I was like, well, you know, as a leader, that makes that decision very easy. You know, like there's not something to debate here. They have said no. And we moved that to Labor Day
weekend. Uh-huh.
And what was wonderful about that is we had been supporting the Civil Rights Museum as one of our city partners since we started.
Uh-huh.
We had been working with the Grizzlies since we started. But because that was MLK Day, they obviously, it's the busiest day of the year for the museum, and they were not able to participate. They were a recipient of some funding, but not actually get to be hands-on.
Yeah.
And so some of their leadership came out last year and approached us right after the race and just said, we love what you're doing. We would love to partner with you in a more significant way.
Yes.
And so I go in a lot of different places, and some of them are faith related and some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
And as a woman of faith, I have said to the body of Christ when I am talking to believers, listen, do not miss the spiritual significance that we are taking a run and a walk of hope, of healing from the past, of honor in the present, of hope for the future, to that very ground.
Yes.
And again, you don't have to be a person of faith to come out and care about this city.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out. Every city, every single person in this city will benefit the more Memphis believes in its better future and lives into it.
Yes.
So it's better for economics. It's better for education. It's better for health. It's all of us. This is the one event that I'm a little biased because this is my event, but I'm like, tell me one other thing that you can participate in that every Memphian benefits from.
Yes, yes.
Every single one of us, if we solve this problem, all of us are improved.
Absolutely.
All of us that are going to benefit. But in that space to say, you know, that day when Dr. King was assassinated, I can't even fathom it. I wasn't alive. It is hard to put an understanding on what happened. But in the spiritual realm, a man of peace doing the work that he was,
mm-hmm.
to be assassinated,
yes.
right here, you know, in the Old Testament, they talk about kind of curses on a land. And I believe there is something that Unite Memphis brings that will bring breakthrough to that kind of darkness that's been over our city.
Yes.
And
yes.
So if you come out white, brown, black, I don't care. If you are somebody who believes in the Lord, I'm asking you to come out, mm-hmm. because I think it matters that we are coming out and walking that ground and having an event mm-hmm. that will bring something new and fresh to that space that will bring healing.
And in some areas, it's a matter, I think, of reclaiming, because mm-hmm. so many times you see people that live in Memphis and has never visited
yeah.
the National Civil Rights Museum. When I found that, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And especially people that look at me, I was like, you ain't went well. It's even free. You don't have an excuse, right? And so this is a great opportunity that when you get through walking and you get through, even if you can't walk, just come and hang out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it makes no difference whether you say, my health is not. But it's imperative to be there mm-hmm. with everybody else. And then if you can, after that, take a walk
yeah.
inside the museum and feel it.
Yes.
Have those conversations with your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, y'all. We got to make sure that on 9/1 day, we got all these great activities. But this is an activity that's going to transform our community.
Yeah. This is, you know, there are going to be a lot of celebrations, a lot of fun, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff going on downtown and a lot of activations. And I'm thrilled because I know the city is hosting a lot of them and they're yeah. doing a fantastic job in a great way. They
yeah.
have promoted what we're doing as kind of a family friendly beginning to 9/1 day.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun, but it'll be fun with a purpose.
Right.
And the dollars, there is a registration fee because those dollars go to those education mm-hmm. nonprofits. But thanks to Jaron Jackson, the museum will be free that day. So you can walk or run. And I think this is the first time that they have had a partner on what they would consider a community day with
yes.
the museum being free. And so we're really honored that they would allow us to be in partnership with them. We're thrilled with Jaron Jackson providing mm-hmm. for the museum to be open. And you said it earlier about bringing children out. You kind of tapped onto one of our kind of the third pillar.
Okay.
In the sense of we want every Memphian to come out 100%, but we need to give those that are emerging leaders, mm-hmm. the next generation, a picture of what Memphis could be, should be, and must be.
Yes.
And so when you were referring back to Apostle Floyd, he was on our board originally, and the first year he brought out some young men from the Husband Institute.
Yes.
And to your point, he said, you know, here he is trying to solve that problem mm-hmm. of young men that don't have fathers in their home. What do they need?
Mm-hmm.
Providing a solution for that. But them coming out, one of the young men that won his age division had never been out of his neighborhood. He had never been downtown. He had never seen the river. He had never gone to a Grizzlies game. He had never run in a race, and he certainly had never run in a race that represented the diversity of our city.
Ooh.
And so for him, it just gave him a whole new perspective of opportunity,
yes.
of what's in this city, and that there's a future for him that can be better and brighter than he maybe ever imagined. And
he saw himself in Memphis, and not just Memphis, Sam, I'm from Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And so we literally have taken some scholarship money to get the next generation out. And I hope in the upcoming years that we get the school systems involved
yes.
and that we have organizations that come out from every high school to walk, to run, to line the streets and cheer people on.
Yes.
So it is important for this not to be an exit city.
Mm-hmm.
Most young adults in this city, if they go to college here, a lot of them look to go to another city.
Uh-huh.
And we have so many good things happening. I was just listening to Bill Dunovit give his kind of state of the city and all of the business that's coming here and
uh-huh.
all of the dollars that are here and all of the tech opportunities we have. Things are changing. Things are improving.
Yes.
And for the next generation to see how they can see themselves here in a beautiful, thriving city, they can be a part of making that happen now.
Yes, yes. And so let me tell y'all, this 9/1 day, September 1, I need people to understand, get to the Civil Rights Museum, because what's going to take place is going to be the next level of moving our community, y'all. We got to do it, and we got to do it together. So I even challenge you all that's listening, whether you're listening on 91.7, whether you're listening online, WYXR, whether you're in Crosstown, listen, make plans of your 901 celebrations to make sure that you not just, I don't even say support, but join in the quest to move Memphis to unite Memphis. Because if you just say, oh, I'm just going to support. No, I need you to join the movement. Mm-hmm. The movement has started. Like I said, the revelation has begun. The movement has started. And the movement is uniting Memphis on all levels. Our pillars, when you're talking about education, that's a very great pillar to unite Memphis. We know right now we have a lot of situations in our educational system. This may be an opportunity that you can say one word to somebody that maybe have the key to get to that door that can help them, y'all. We can do this together, but we cannot do it in silos. We cannot do it thinking that we're all the be all. No, it's going to take all of us to work together to unite Memphis the way we know Unite Memphis can be. Karen, do me a favor, share with people how they can, ways of participating, ways of supporting, ways of just joining the movement.
Yeah. Well, I would say first thing, go to unitememphis.com. You can join the race. So just register and show up. If you want to, invite some friends. If you go and you can create a team, it's super easy. Everything is easy to do. So you can create your own team. You only need three people to make a team. It's cheaper if you register as a team. Make plans right now. We're less than 5 days away. This is coming up on Monday. So you register yourself, invite someone to come. We have a media kit that is also there. You can share it on your social media, get the word out. Honestly, I challenge people, invite someone who looks different than you. What if you actually did something to say, hey, come with me? Mm-hmm. Whether you're white and you invite someone who's not white, whether you're black and you invite someone who's not white. Like, it doesn't, like, actually take that step if you want. And if you're just like, I've never done something like that, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Come on out, experience it, and you will be inspired and encouraged. So they can do that. We also have a great way, first time we've done this year. If you want some cool merch that has our branding and Civil Rights Museum branding together on it, you can invite your friends to donate. Maybe they're out of town for Labor Day. They can donate to your account, per se, as a, kind of like St. Jude does, like, hey, will you help me raise funds? And if you, I think if you get $100, you get this cool dry fit shirt that says unity is greater than division. Mm. If you get $250, I think you get a sweatshirt or a hat. You get to pick a Yeti if you could keep going, a JBL speaker. So we are literally incentivizing people to do good. If you just get a few friends that'll say, hey, I'll give you $10, or hey, I'll give you $100, or whatever, I'll give you $10, you can get some cool merch. And it also just brings them in, just an awareness of this is happening. If you've got businesses, if you just come out as a team and show up. If we get to 2,500 participants, we'll be the largest walker run in unity in the country.
Ooh.
And that is a headline I am run towards. And but I can't, to your point, I can't do it. Yeah. I need everybody in their circle of influence. If you impact your circle, if you get your circle there, and I get my circle there, and everybody listening gets their circle there, we can do it. But if everybody's like, yeah, I'm not, just not going to get up on Monday morning, then it won't happen. So I need people to say, I always want to make a difference. Can I really do anything?
Right.
Absolutely. You physically being there will absolutely make a difference.
So, you know, unite Memphis, unite Memphis, unite Memphis, y'all. We can do this. Karen, there's something that I like to do with all of my guests, because I'm all about having conversations for our community and our culture.
Yeah.
What would be the one word you would like to represent community to you? What's that one word? Makes you think.
Yeah. I mean, I guess honestly, to me, this is an oversimplistic answer. It all goes down to love.
Love.
It all goes down to love.
And what's the one word that you would describe culture? Especially in Memphis.
Would describe our culture?
Culture. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would say hurting.
Ah, see? See, it's always a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So I get love all the time, but hurting. Because we have a culture of people that are hurting and nobody wants to acknowledge.
Yeah, and I think part of the, you know, I walk in a lot of different spaces, and mm-hmm. I think if there's something that is maybe underemphasized, it doesn't matter how big your problem is. Mm-hmm. To you, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I because I do wear a ministry hat, I can talk to people that literally, I don't know how they're, like, they are walking through something that only God can carry them through, you know? And it is something that's like a boulder. And I'll talk to someone else, and their problem is like a half a millimeter wide. And I'm like, you're stressed out about that? Like, yeah. Do you know what a real problem is?
Right.
But it doesn't really matter. Most people, whether it's big or small, they're just wrapped up in their own world. Problem. They just don't even look up enough to care about, and I don't mean that rudely, but most people are just so trying to survive day to day, they're hurting, that they don't look up and say, I have a greater purpose, and I, little me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Whether I have resources, whether I have a platform, whether I have nothing, I have the breath in my lungs, and today has been a day that I can make a difference in this world. And so when I say hurting, it is all of that. It is the poverty. It is the crime. It is the that. But I think no matter where people are, I say hurting because most people are just kind of stuck in their own stuff.
All about them.
Yeah.
And it should be about us.
Yeah.
In order to unite Memphis.
100%.
And love is going to be one of the major factors.
Yeah.
If we're talking about our community, we have to love our hurting community so they can be hurting, but we're going to love the hurt out of them where they don't think about themselves, but now they think about the community.
100%.
Unite Memphis. Y'all, I am challenging you all, unite Memphis. And I say that because every time I ask that question, I get a different answer. Mm-hmm. I get love all the time, right? But every other one, when you're talking about culture, it's not about the black and white culture. It's us. Yeah. What is the culture? What is, like, when people walk in your church, what is the culture of your church? Mm-hmm. If your church is a church about love, or is it a church about this? So what is the culture that we, and we want to bring the culture of Memphis of being united.
100%.
Yeah. Tell us this. I know. Oh, yeah. Tell people how to get in contact with you, because I know there's maybe somebody out there that's saying, man, I like what she talks about. She talks some good stuff. And I'm telling y'all, church is amazing. Tell people how they can connect with your ministry.
Okay. So ministry-wise, my other hat is at onecitymemphis.org. And so One City Memphis, you can check us out there. We are at basically at Walnut Grove and 240. And we are called One City for a reason. Mm-hmm. And in a beautiful way, it does reflect the beauty of the diversity of Memphis. In the Unite Memphis way, my email is the letter K and then Conley, and that is Conlee. I throw everybody off with those double E's at the end, at unitememphis.com. If you want to reach out to me about the race, happy to hear from you. It is not too late, but if you want to register and make something happen this year, go to unitememphis.com, click join the race, and it takes you from there. There's a place to donate. There's a place to purchase scholarships for others. There's a place to create a team, and it is going to be a blast. We're excited, and it'll be a great time out at the Civil Rights Museum. Now, if you are not a walker or runner, I will tell you this. You have to pick up your race bib in advance, and you do not want to miss at 9:01 on 9:01 day. Mayor Young and a whole host of people will be there for a phenomenal kickoff. So get there early enough, get parked, get to the registration line, get your race bib. You can also go to Fleet Feet and pick it up this weekend if you want to register early, which I highly recommend.
Okay.
But you can find all that information at unitememphis.com when you click join the race, and it'll take you and show you all where the packet pickup is, all the schedule of events. But do it now. And the more that you do it, the more it inspires somebody else to come out and make a difference too.
Come on. Y'all, can y'all give it up for my sister, Karen Conley, that is doing the work, y'all. Unite Memphis, One City, y'all. We are all about how do we move the needle in Memphis. And I'm going to tell you, the way we move it is we all get in it together and we work together. So 9:01 day, it's coming up on Monday. So for more information, you can always go to my site tonight as well. We'd be more than happy to make sure you get all plugged in. Hey, y'all, I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Know that I love you, baby. Absolutely, positively love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever, and learn how to be the best version of you, because everybody else is already taken. Be blessed is my prayer for you.
Too long ago, Tim Breeze had a song called Girl, I Love You, and it was taken up by a very well-known artist, and she recorded a song that became Teenage Love Affair. And we just want to send this back out to Miss Alicia Keys. Some people live for the fortune. Some people live just for the fame. Some people live for the power, yeah. Some people live just to play the game.
Some people think that the physical thing defines what's within, but I there before, that life's a war. It's all for the superficial. Some people want it all. I don't want nothing at all. If it ain't you, baby, if I ain't got you, baby. Some people want diamond rings. Some just want everything. Everything means nothing.
People search for a fountain. The promise is forever young. Some people need 36 roses. That's the only way to prove you're loving.
Hand me a world on a silver platter. No one who truly cares for me. Some people want it all. I don't want nothing at all. If it ain't you, baby, if I ain't got you, baby. Some people want diamond rings. Some just want everything. Everything means nothing.
Let you know
you, baby,
how I feel. when I'm not with you.
You, babe,
it just seems so unreal.
You,
just
babe,
to feel your touch.
You,
I just
babe,
even touch your hair.
You,
it
babe,
makes me a very happy
you,
man.
Babe.
You, cars, babe, and clothes and diamond rings.
You, babe,
they don't mean a thing.
You, babe,
without you, without me.
Without you, babe.
So I just want you to know,
you, babe,
you got my love. I'm gonna give you all
babe,
my love. It's all for you.
You, babe, without you, babe. Some people want it all. I don't want nothing at all. If it ain't you, baby, if I ain't got you, baby. Some people want diamond rings. Some just want everything. Everything means nothing if I ain't got you.
Listening with me wherever you are. I hope we have fun today.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hey, snap with me at home. Yeah. Hey, snap with me in your car. Hey.
After a long day, I miss the way your t-shirt hung up off of my arm. We were eating Lucky Charms at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now I am without you, and I feel so blue, and I haven't seen yellow.
You ever felt that way?
Ooh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give him a call. Yeah, let him know.
I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just call me when you
feel like. Yeah, yeah. You know I hate to admit it.
Sorry to get y'all in y'all feelings in the middle of the day, but this is where we at.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so grateful, really, to WYXR for letting me be here today. Thank y'all. And thank y'all for listening.
Putting on airs every Sunday morning. Dripping a tear into my coffee, especially on the sad sack Sunday offerings, putting on airs every Sunday.
best country music show in Memphis.
Absolutely.
WYXR.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel, like a